This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 161 of Would You To Watch This? How did I mess that one up?
With grace.
Jeez, bro. Of What Did You Watch This Week?
Like, you weren't even trying to go fast or anything.
No, I was just talking like a normal.
Hi. Welcome to
me speaking good English. Well.
Talky talk. Anyway.
Yeah. So. How goes it?
It goes.
Nice. But your notification's blowing up over there.
Carolyn is saying that you and I are to blame for her watching Doctor Who and these creepy episodes, and I was telling her, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, we do what we can.
Yeah.
We're public servants.
How are we to blame for making you watch something that's awesome?
Like, tremendously awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely not to blame. Just... Yeah. You're welcome.
So you got some stuff to talk about?
I got a few things. Yep. How about you?
Yeah, I got some returning shows, some fun stuff.
You said returning shows, pluralized?
Correct. Yeah. I caught up on the two episodes of iZombie that I hadn't watched yet, and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came back.
You know, I didn't realize it had come back until I put on my Hulu, and I went, oh, shit! I thought it was coming back in June or something.
No? Well, apparently it's a pack now.
Yeah. I watched that myself.
What'd you think? Since we're just diving right in, I'm pretty sure you didn't watch any of the DC stuff, so.
I did not. You're correct.
I'm good at this game.
I thought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I thought the first episode was decent.
It was decent.
It was predictable. Like, as soon as Gemma got her eye on the fact that Fitz must be on this planet deep in deeper space.
And that his ship was cut in half. And
they were going there no matter what.
Yeah. So S.H.I.E.L.D. is now expanding to be more space-oriented again.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll end once they get him back? Do you think they'll go right back to Earth and be like, okay, we're terrestrial again?
Probably.
Yeah.
They don't have a reason to be up there.
Yeah.
I could imagine.
Unless they run into the Asgardians of the galaxy. That was one thing I was disappointed with, was S.H.I.E.L.D. has always done a good job, even if they don't, like, focus on it, they've always done a good job of, like, talking about what's recently happened in the Marvel movies, you know?
And nothing at all was mentioned or addressed?
No. This would have been prime time to address the snapping, as it were.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to separate themselves, starting with this season.
Probably. This wasn't bad, but I still looked at it and went, boy, they should have ended after last season.
And they still, they've got another full season to go because they renewed it for.
I know. Could be worse. Could be Game of Thrones.
Well, that ends in one episode.
Thank God.
You know, I actually haven't thought the season's been that bad.
Really?
I've read a lot of things.
Now, when do you go in to get tested for brain damage?
No, I've read a lot of things where the cast is complaining about how they don't like this season either, how what they've done to the characters and this and that. But I don't know. Okay. I haven't had a problem
with it. Well, we'll talk about that later because we got two episodes to go.
We do. That's probably the biggest, deepest dive.
Deepest dive.
So in the original history line, you know, Fitz's ship makes it to the future.
Mm-hmm.
What changed?
They didn't quake apart the Earth, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
The Kree didn't come here. It's been so long. I could have used a refresher. Like, you know, this is what happened last season. And not just like the 5 seconds.
Gave us like a couple minute one. They should have really given us more.
Yeah, they could have had like a 15 minute episode that was like previously on. And just to recap so that we could remember all the time traveling and space traveling and Kree. And
it's been a year since the last episode aired, basically. Yeah. Which, and they've even said, because it finished up before... Infinity Wars. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't come back till after Endgame, yeah. Which I'm glad they did it that way. So we didn't have S.H.I.E.L.D. all through the fall and everything.
It's possible that they're going with the Snappening's
alternate
realities kind of thing. You know, maybe that's why this other guy that looks just like Coulson is this here.
Other Coulson?
Unless he's going to be a Skrull. Maybe they're trying to tie it back to the Captain Marvel thing. Well, the Skrull did encounter Coulson during Captain Marvel, so.
That's true. It was nice seeing him in Captain Marvel.
It was.
Yeah. Interesting, and I think I've said this to you and others, but I don't know if we've said this on the show. I didn't realize that Endgame was filmed before Captain Marvel.
Mm.
So, like, it wasn't just a couple scenes that she filmed before. Like, I thought the little PS trailer scene that they showed at the end of Captain Marvel with all the Endgame people, with all the Infinity Wars.
Right,
stuff,
and she shows up.
I thought that was filmed before they filmed Captain Marvel.
No, they filmed all of her scenes.
I didn't realize all of Endgame was filmed before they filmed Captain Marvel. Well, I
don't know if all of Endgame was.
All of her scenes were filmed for Endgame before they filmed Captain Marvel. I thought that I was very surprised about that.
Yeah. It was interesting.
So anyhow, in Deep Space, you got Daisy and Gemma and the other two there.
Generic S.H.I.E.L.D. people.
I mean, the guy especially might as well just put a red shirt on.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. The girl, we've seen her a bunch in other stuff, and she was Hydra, and now she's S.H.I.E.L.D. again, and blah, blah, blah. But the other guy, he's fodder.
Oh, he is so dead. He is so dead.
But they're out there in deep space dealing with people they're not used to dealing with and encountering new aliens and this and that.
They're not used to dealing with them, but they're also used to it enough that they're like constantly hiding themselves and avoiding scanners and, oh, they're coming for us. So they've got some kind of knowledge.
They have been up there a year, basically.
Yeah.
So, but they're going off to find Fitz, who we see is Atastasis, injecting himself with something that makes his eyes glow and speaking a foreign language we don't understand. But, he could have been on the mining planet that they were at before, for all we know. We don't know where he is. They didn't tell us that. And then you have Mac as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
One of the big sighs that I had was the whole Yo-Yo possibly dating this other guy. And May's like, oh, you don't have to hide it from Mac. Remember, he's the one that dove headfirst into all of his work and, you know, didn't want to have a relationship with you. And she's like, I know, but I don't want to flaunt it in front of his face.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure that all those feelings that they had for each other, all the love and the passion just disappeared because he was like, bitch, I got work. No, I'm not buying it. This is a guy who almost stayed inside the Matrix, basically, for a fake child that he knew was fake.
Right.
Like, this man has heart. This man has love in buckets. And for them to be like, oh, yeah, he just, you know, put his heart on the shelf because he's got work to do. Nah, I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it either.
No.
But we seem to come into the story and we're jumping, you know, with both feet right in that they've been tracking these anomalies and all this other stuff for who knows how long. With people crossing over and coming over and this, that, and the other. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I didn't hate the first episode, but we'll see where it goes. What else? excuse me.
Careful now.
I know. So, I actually did not watch a ton this week. Because I just didn't have a lot of work to do at work. So I couldn't watch TV at work.
What do you mean you had a lot of work to do at work?
It was just busy.
Yeah.
Okay. It was just busy, and I had those trainees, and I had to finish up with one, then I had to start a new one.
So at least that one survived. Oh, you're so rolling your eyes.
We'll see. I got another new one. Mm. She's 21 as well.
Wow. Young and dumb, like, what are they thinking? I mean, I understand when I was, you know, 18, 19, and I was working at J&S, I was sucking up all the overtime that I could. So I was like, yeah, I'm invincible and I can make money.
Right.
But, you know, they're 21. They're not going to want to work evenings or nights in the summer.
I don't know. My last three trainees have all been like 21 and don't understand life.
No. Most of them don't. It's sad. I was out with a friend of mine last night. We were getting pizza, and he had brought a work friend who, like, we're both in our 40s. Yeah. And this guy, I think, is like late 20s, early 30s. So, you know, when he said to him, he couldn't say, yeah, that's back when John and I were working at movie gallery. He said, that's back when I was working at the video rental store. Because, you know, you have to spell it out because they don't understand these things.
Right. So I got deceived, though, because my
newest... It's like a giant red box.
My newest trainee, I mentioned movie gallery. And she said, oh, yeah, my grandma and I used to go rent movies and this and that. And so I immediately assumed that she was older.
They were getting Care Bears and shit.
And then I finally went, oh, finally, someone who's not like, you know, a baby and knows what things are. And then Jenna's like, she's younger than I am. I was like, what? But yeah. I mean, movie got closed in 2010, apparently. Not in Maine. They could have closed earlier, but as a company, they closed down in 2010, which is not as long ago as I thought it was.
No. Linens Links closed in 2008.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But regardless, so I was just plenty busy at that, my actual work, doing work.
Gotcha.
I did not watch the newest Cloak and Dagger, the one that was just on, the one I have on Hulu I have to watch.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the most recent episode.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And there'll be a new one tomorrow night, maybe, because we're recording this on Tuesday, May 14th.
Yeah. We're probably going to record again on May 20-something.
Yeah. Yeah, we're either going to record this coming Monday or we're going to skip.
Well,
because we always have that one off.
I'll be honest, we probably won't be recording Monday because we're going to have to watch Game of Thrones, the wife and I are.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not going to wait a whole week because people suck when it comes to not putting spoilers out there.
Yeah, well, remember how last time you were like, hey, I didn't see a single spoiler because they were all talking about the coffee cup. And then this week I'm like, oh, he's fucked.
Well, we watched it Monday.
Yeah.
So we lucked out. So I just stayed away from the internet Monday morning. I think I looked at Twitter and went, well, guess I got to stay away from Twitter completely.
Today. See, that should be your philosophy in life in general.
Yeah, I know. Just
stay away from Twitter. Anyway.
But regardless, so we did watch it this past Monday night because I was off, and I'm off Sunday, Monday this week. And Sunday night, there's the wrestling pay-per-view. Paul's coming over. And then Monday night's Game of Thrones. So I'll probably have to record that other
weekend. So that'll be our bye week.
That'll be our bye week, yeah. Which will actually give me time to get caught up on some other stuff. And
but will you?
Well, I will, actually. And most likely, we're going to have like all kinds of season finales all done by the time we by the time we actually record again. Not chat again. We'll talk long before this. But by the time we record again.
Yeah. Yeah, they should all be done at that point.
Yeah. So I guess we'll have a couple Cloak and Daggers to talk about then. I did watch The Blacklist this morning.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think
of that? Did you watch last Friday? Anna McMahon.
Yeah. Which I was a little disappointed in the title because I really expected them to go hard at her.
Yeah, and they really didn't.
No. No. She was barely in it.
Yeah, basically, I mean, there's one more episode for the season finale. It's on this Friday. But yeah, basically, they suddenly are able to find out exactly, like, they find a image of who Christopher Lambert put the... the thumb drive in the kid's backpack. So they find out who that is. And both the Secret Service do and the FBI do. And now it's a race to find the dossier first. And ultimately, Secret Service, like, murder innocent civilians and dispose of their bodies and on. And I'm like just pieces of shit, really. And, the Blacklist team, I don't know what you want to call them, whatever they are.
The task force.
Task force, there we go. They, you know, they're kind of playing catch-up for a little while, and then they're ahead of the game for a little while, and then, you know, they have a shootout with the Secret Service. It was an exciting episode, really. But, yeah, we didn't see a whole lot of her. We just saw her panicking at the beginning, and then, you know, at the end, when the task force has the dossier, and they're going to, you know, they're not going to release the information, but they're going to get it out there. Because they discover that the president, the dossier shows an assassination attempt that's going to take place on the president who's in on it. So clearly it's his wife.
Yeah, yeah. And basically everyone's freaking out because they're like, this is an attack on the American people. This is an attack on America.
Yeah. So Anna McMahon tries to basically blame the task force for what she's doing. She tries to flip it on them. And so at the end of the episode, they're arresting everyone on the task force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for conspiracy to commit murder, which I think they could probably get a higher charge than that, considering it's the president, you know.
Yeah.
Treason.
But here's the thing, though. She doesn't. All the evidence that she has is obviously doctored evidence of them engaging with the Secret Service, mm-hmm. who the Secret Service were the bad guys in it all.
Right.
But when you're watching doctored footage or videotapes, whatever, so she doesn't have the treason against the president because she has no proof of it. She has assumptions.
Well, I was also very disappointed because I know you watch it on the app, so you didn't get to see the next time on.
No, I didn't.
But, you know, at the end of this, Liz is the only one who's like hiding yes. in the shadows, and she's talking to Red on the phone. She's like, oh my God, they're here.
I got to do something.
Well, now you would think, okay, so everyone was arrested. What's the next course of action? What's Anna McMahon going to do with them?
I don't know. Kill them all? Make it look like they escaped?
Yeah.
Probably lock them all in the same place.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, the scene from the next week's episode shows them in one of those glass boxes that they kept Reddington in back in the day.
Yeah.
Down in the basement. Like, wouldn't you assume that your law enforcement people would take them out and take them to like a police station
or, yeah.
or a marshal station or something?
Yeah.
No, they're going to lock them down in their own basement. You know, that way Liz can still be effective of getting them out, I guess.
It does seem shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, we already know it's been renewed for another season.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're not going to kill any of these characters.
Right.
Right. So what we know is going to happen is, Anna McMahon's going to go to jail, or she's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
The president's going to get exposed, or he won't.
Oh, Red's going to kill her.
Red will kill her. I do like the scene where Liz ran out of bullets after three shots, because that's realistic.
Yeah, what was that?
I'm out.
God, I lost it. Yeah, literally. Bang, 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 click.
I'm out. Yeah.
I looked around. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And
President's got, like, emptied out, like, you know, three clips by then, probably.
Yeah.
And she has no backup clip?
Okay. She's an FBI agent.
She's got to have at least one spare magazine on her.
She's got to have a full clip in that gun.
Yeah.
What was she doing with it? What was she firing that gun at? That she was like, I'll just leave it with three.
So one of course,
chamber.
So of course she's going to be killed now because the guy's got the drop on her and she is can't hide behind the door she's standing next to. She's got to right. stand there. And basically, it's like the guy on Rambo who has the exploding arrow pointing at him and he just stops and sticks his chest out. Like, yeah. I'm going to take this. Come on. Anyways.
Or I think of the guy with the steamroller at Austin Powers.
Oh, like, yes.
No! Move out of the way! Yeah.
Or in Deadpool when he's going to run the guy with the Zamboni.
You're going to be killed by a Zamboni in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Red speeds up and crack, 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 crack.
Yeah.
Red's drive-by shooting was a drive-by.
Ridiculous.
It was pretty violent. Yeah.
Yeah. That three bullet thing. Like, what are you talking about? Why? What is wrong with you? Never in the history of TV have we seen that level of ineptitude.
Oh, there was a tremendous amount of ineptitude. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was an okay episode for the most part.
Yeah. It wasn't, I wasn't blown away.
No.
I wasn't.
But that guy sure was.
I mean, well, okay, let me rephrase that. I actually really did enjoy the cat and mouse part of them in the Secret Service. With the Secret Service
it was action-packed.
Yes, I enjoyed all that. It was the ending, the anime making. I told you I'd shut you down here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
and your little dog, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it was just, yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
So, anyways.
There were two episodes this week of Superstore.
Nope.
Okay. One of them was called Scanners.
Nice.
But it's not.
No one's head explodes?
No.
Damn.
No, they got price check scanner guns so that people could walk around and check prices of things.
Yeah.
You know, like the progressive tool there. And the employees discovered that they had a lot of range on them. So they basically made a laser game? Tag game.
Nice. Where
one team was yogurt and one team was, I think, pies or something. And so you had to wear the barcode on your shirt. And then people from the other team would try to tag you so they could check the computer later and see what was scanned for items. So, oh, yeah.
God, I love it.
It was great.
I love
it. And, of course, in a complete fluke, you know, everyone was, like, picking things that said yogurt or pie, or I think it was pie. But, you know, they're picking those things. And somebody goes, Jonah, did you mean to put all the white people on the same team together? And you look, and it's, like, all the white people. So, yeah, that was – interesting. You see Cheyenne walking through the store at one point, and somebody's like, you know, can you show me where these are? And she's like, yeah. And she goes, aren't they over this way? And Cheyenne goes, yeah, but we're going to take the long way around. There's white people over there, and I don't want them to shoot me. And the woman's like, I hear you.
You can't walk till the white man says you can walk. Exactly.
The other one was called Cloud Nine Fail. It was an okay episode.
Isn't Kate from This Is Us on one of those?
Yes. Yeah. She's on that one. Basically, they discover that, you know, their hours keep getting cut, but then somebody posts a thing on Twitter about how Cloud Nine sucks. Yeah. And so they're like, well, if your store is sucking, we can give you more hours so you can have more people. And they're like, Jonah and Amy are like, great. We should make a fake account and do all these fails. And then, like, Kate comes in and she's like, yeah, we've traced it. They were doing it here. We know it's one of you, blah, blah, blah. It had a really cool ending, though. I'm not going to ruin that, but it has a really cool ending.
I started watching Schooled, but I didn't finish it.
Oh, the season finale.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. The one with Mr. Barry. Yeah, I got about halfway through. I kept getting interrupted, so I just stopped.
That one has been renewed for a second season.
I'm actually happy about that. I really enjoy the coach. Not a lot of coach in this episode, unfortunately, nope. Which is sad because it's really why I watch it. I'm not going to lie.
He's awesome.
Didn't watch New Amsterdam.
Me either.
I did watch The Kids Were All Right.
Yep.
I just like the show a lot.
Yeah,
I'm just going to leave it at that. gosh, I mean, other than Game of Thrones and Chernobyl and Chambers, the only other thing I watched was Killing Eve.
Like I said, iZombie's back, and I've watched two episodes. This is their final season. They knew it going in, yep. So it's built around that. So last season we had, you know, Seattle was a – it was a walled-off city, but people were kind of living with the zombies.
Yeah.
And it was like they knew what was going on. Some people wanted to be turned and stuff. Everything that built up last season has led to this. So now there's, like – they're cut off from the world. Like there's no new brain shipments coming in except for through black market deals. So the zombies are kind of suffering, and there's a lot of people in there who blame them for everything. So they have created groups called the Dead Enders that are very anti-zombie, but they don't just want to take them out. They want to make a spectacle out of it. It's still a great show. It really is. The characters are awesome. The way that the brains work on them, they do it very well. It's comic booky, but great. So I still really love this show. I'm glad that they got this one last season. What We Do in the Shadows?
I keep forgetting to even watch it.
Okay. I've been pretty good up until this point.
No, that's fine. You're right.
I've got to spoil this because this was literally one of the coolest things that I've seen in pop culture in forever. Okay. So not this most recent episode, but the episode before that, mm-hmm. The vampire who's been visiting them, the Baron, who's like an ancient vampire, he was killed. So this episode, they're brought before the Council of Vampires to stand trial for the death of the Baron.
Seems fair.
Yep. The one who brings them there is Kristen Shaw, who, great actress. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They got a guest star in this. No. The Council of Vampires, first off, it's headed by Tilda Swinton. And I went, huh. Now, I had to look it up later on because there's a theme running through here. But I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So Tilda Swinton comes down. To her right is Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement. And I went, wait, they were from the movie.
Yeah.
And they were playing their characters from the movie. They introduced themselves as Vladislav the Poker. And I'm like, they brought them back. That's awesome. And Taika Waititi is reading off the names of the people who are there for the council.
Yeah.
And he says, our leader, Tilda. So it wasn't, she was playing herself. She was playing Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Because apparently there was a 2013 movie where Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston played vampires. So she's a vampire as far as they're concerned. And then he started talking about other members of their ranks, like Evan Rachel Wood, who was there as Evan, because she was the queen of the vampires in True Blood. And then next in line was Danny Trejo. Oh, he's not wearing a shirt again. Yeah, we can see all those Mexican tattoos. And he's like, hey, from?
Desfaldon?
Yes. And then they said, what about Rob? Oh, no, Rob's trying to leave that part of himself behind. He's trying to, he doesn't want to be Rob Zombie.
Oh, that's funny.
Then they said, well, what about Kiefer? No, Kiefer couldn't make it. He had something going on. He was too busy. And I'm like, Fucking Kiefer Sutherland, he wasn't there, but they mentioned him. What about Tom and Brad? No, Tom and Brad, they're too busy. Oh, yeah, Tom and Brad, they're big movies.
Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, yeah.
Yeah. But we have Paul Rubens from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And he even did his, like, hand gestures. He was like... It was phenomenal. And then, couldn't be there in person, but joining them by Skype, everybody's least favorite vampire, Wesley Snipes.
Seriously?
And they all hate him because he's a daywalker.
Perfect.
They're like, he's got all of our powers, none of our... They're like, yeah, how's that sunlight thing? He's like, yeah, fuck you. But he was doing a true Skype thing, so it was like, it kept cutting in and out, and like, his audio wouldn't work, and they sit there, they're like, Wesley, can you hear us? Can you hear us? And he's like, looking at the screen. They're like, there's a little microphone thing there. Press it. Okay, there, now you're not muted. And it was so phenomenal.
That sounds awesome.
That they got all of these people who have played vampires in B-movies or, you know, in some cases... A movies.
That's awesome.
It was beautiful. I couldn't get over it. I'm just like, this is the coolest thing that I have seen in forever. Fucking Paul Rubens.
That is awesome.
I mean, Danny Trejo shows up in everything these days. Evan Rachel Wood, that was a huge win for them. But Paul Rubens, to have him show up and be like, hey, you played a vampire, a really cheesy vampire, an awesome death scene in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. You want to come and be a vampire? And he's like, sure, why not?
And I love that Wesley Snipes is there by Skype and they hate him. That's hilarious.
He's a daywalker. I hate him. It was so good. The rest of the trial, I didn't even care about. It was just them. I was like, this is so cool.
How long are the episodes?
Half an hour. But that's half an hour with commercials. So
Right.
So yeah, other than that, all I've got for shows is Killing Eve and Game of Thrones.
Okay, so... I'll say this about Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Because I know you want to watch it. You said. I do. It's excellent.
Is it?
It's excellent. Yeah.
Even though you kind of know how it turns out?
Well, yeah.
I mean, still good.
Well,
it's about the journey, not the destination.
Well, no, because like, okay, so I'll just tell you this because I'm not ruining anything.
Go ahead.
It doesn't start with like leading up to the explosion happening. It starts with the explosion.
Oh, okay.
But it starts with the explosion where if you don't watch, you're going to miss it.
Oh.
This woman's walking in her apartment. She walks by the window, and in the background you see... But they're, like, a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it starts.
You can't be that far away, though.
Well, they're 3 miles away.
Mm.
But that's how it starts.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Well, there's another little part before that. But, I mean, like, so they don't, like, build... They basically kind of jump you in both feet. And you're watching this, and... It's cool because I don't know if they do it when you watch regular HBO, like if you when you watch it live or on demand or whatever, or when you DVR it. But like we watch it on the HBO app after the credits, they have this like two and a half minute maybe like thing where they talk about the episode. And they did it with
I've seen those before.
They did it with Game of Thrones, and it's kind of awesome. I think maybe that's why I don't have the same issues about Game of Thrones because like I listen to them explain what they did, why they did, so then it makes sense to me. Okay. I don't know.
I'm going to poke some holes in that.
Oh, and that's fine. But they do the same thing with Chernobyl. You know, it's like, you know, they talk about this. And I don't know, when I watch it, because I know, like, this actually happened. And they're trying to be as accurately true to the story as they can be. Like, they introduced a character in this episode, and they said that this character is not a real person. But it's like an amalgamation of all kinds of these other people in one. It's like all these scientists kind of came forward to say, hey, this is what you need to do, or, you know, they just detected it or whatever it is. And they couldn't have all those people, so they just made one person represent those people. But then a lot of the people on there are, like, you know, they're portraying the actual people. And they tried to put as much truthful information, not truthful, it's all truthful, but try and put, like, as much direct information there as they can. Like, even, like, what people said. Because the guy felt they had an impact. It's really good. There's actually a companion podcast that Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and the creator of Chernobyl are doing. And they released the first episode right after the first episode. They're releasing the second episode after, you know, the second episode. So I can – and I listened to the first episode of the podcast as well this week. And it's actually really cool to watch the show itself and then to listen to the podcast about the show.
Okay.
Because they really kind of, it's a great companion to the episode, and he explains a lot of things in the episode and what he did and this and that. And so I'm actually looking forward to the next one. But it's really, really good. It's
I'm looking forward to it.
It's really good. And you find yourself doing this a lot. Like Kate and I do, we find ourselves doing like, seriously, that's what they're doing? Or like, just, I don't want to give it away, but it's going to blow your mind as to like what, how it was handled. Because you got to think it's also Soviet, you know, communist Russia, Soviet, whatever it is. It's the Ukraine, but it's the Soviet Union.
Right.
You know, and
back in the USSR.
And it's just the way they handle things there. Definitely different, you know. And then I asked this to Kate tonight because we're watching them trying to figure out how to solve the issue, if you will. And I said, I wonder what they would do today. How would they do this different? Could they do this differently today? You know, would they still have to do what they did?
They probably could. I'm just guessing based on things that they've done with, like, the Fukushima reactor, you know.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Like, now I want to go see how they did. I want to go see how it compares to Chernobyl. I mean,
that was a bit of a different case because that one was right at the ocean, you know.
Right.
And we know that fallout has gotten into the ocean from
Yes.
But, yeah, I think still, that I wonder Chernobyl how kind of gave them insight so that they could know how to handle that stuff in the future.
I know, like, the only one I could think of to compare it to was like Three Mile Island.
Yep.
But that was a partial meltdown and they got that contained pretty quick.
And it was on an island.
Yeah. But still, it was
near. And it wasn't even the worst disaster that ever happened on that island.
Nope.
I would say arguably the worst disaster that happened on that island was that god awful fake Deadpool that Ryan Reynolds played. And when he fought Wolverine on top of the cooling towers. God, what a.
What an
abortion that was.
Sorry. That's awesome.
Anyway.
No, that was awesome. That was well done. Yeah, I recommend it thoroughly, though.
I'm looking
forward to it. I give it a heavy, 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 heavy sell. Chambers. This was a Netflix TV series, 10 episodes. The early episodes were kind of like in the long range, 50 minutes-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last few were like just over half an hour, 35, 30, you know, between 30 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically about a girl who gets a heart transplant.
Yep.
And then starts to suffer some, I'm not going to say side effects of the heart transplant, but like she starts to kind of have some memories and see what the previous owner of the heart saw.
Right.
And it goes down a path I didn't see coming, especially the end when I went, what? Like, not in a bad way, what? Okay. But like just in a, I never expected this. But I give it a good recommend. It's a very interesting story.
Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting, a little tense at times. There's some cult-like people involved.
Okay.
But, yeah, I give it a good push. Have you, heard or watched anything about it at all?
Just previews.
Yeah.
And they looked good. They looked like something that I wanted to watch, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I kind of got hung up on it. I have no idea if they're going to do a second season or not, but yeah.
I'm not sure. I haven't heard one way or the other.
Killing Eve.
Yep.
So you watched the episode tonight, I'm assuming.
I hope you like Missionary. I watched it at work today.
Oh, you, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Half of my lunch break and then the other half while I was like, fuck it, nobody's around.
I do, as a matter of fact. This episode, this might be my favorite episode of the whole fucking series.
They really, it almost reminds me of when Legends embraced its crazy.
Yes.
And started going off the rails in a good way. That's what this, I mean.
100% yes.
Like last week they were like, oh, let's put out a hit and hire Villanelle to, you know, come kill me so that we can get her to help. Now it's just like, hey, we're going to hire her again.
Let's just call her. Yeah.
Let's have her impersonate somebody.
Basically, yeah, what happens is, first of all, Nico confronts Eve.
Yeah.
And that leads to some weird sex, apparently, that they had.
Yeah, that was, like, he throws her up against the wall, and he's like, do you want me to love you, or do you want me to make you afraid? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he, like, grabs her by the throat, pushes her down onto the floor, and says, get upstairs. And she crawls on all fours with all a smile on her happy face. About it.
Yeah. And then the next morning, she's like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
And she's like,
that was awesome.
And he's like, we need to break up.
Yeah. He's like, I was up all night. I feel dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to break up. Like, he's leaving her, basically.
Yeah.
And
well, because she basically just showed her hand that she's maybe not a full psychopath, but
she's got some issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got some issues. And so they hire Villanelle again, but this time they don't go clandestine. They just go to what, Gregor?
Go to Constantine.
Yeah, so they go to Constantine and just like, we need to hire Villanelle for a
not job. To kill someone.
Yeah, not to kill someone for a change. But she probably is the best actress that they have.
Oh, when she's auditioning for Eve and she's like, who's it going to be? And she like starts going through the voices she has.
The different accents and everything else. Yeah. So Aaron Peel.
Jodie Comer is awesome.
Oh, she really is awesome. So Aaron Peel, he's the bad guy.
Yes.
And he's kind of a sociopath type guy himself.
Because he essentially had his father killed.
Yeah. But he's also kind of, he's also a bully.
Oh, yeah.
And he's controlling.
And paranoid.
Yes.
Never had a boyfriend, never had a girlfriend, never had anything.
Yeah. Just the only person he's close to is his sister. Mm-hmm. So she's going to rehab or A&A meetings or whatever it is. And so that's where Villanelle goes. And she kind of does this New York character. And then her first day is all sympathy. My friend died and my husband left me. And
she's using a lot of Eve's life.
Yes. Yes. And the guy, and I thought it was funny when guy running goes, oh, poor me. Poor me. Poor me another drink. Oh, ho, ho. Yeah. We've all, you can't play the victim here.
Yeah.
And I can understand why Eve might have been pissed a little bit because she's like, wait, what? This shouldn't happen this way. And I just gave you my big sob story, and you're just like saying, like, shut up, who cares?
And in keeping with her character, it's the little things that Jodie Comer uses to sell the fact that she is a childish psychopath.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because right after that, like, Claire raises her hand. She goes, my name's Claire, and everyone goes, hi, Claire. And she just gets this look in her face and goes, hey.
Yeah.
And it was just perfect. It was like, yes, that's her.
And then Eve gives her shit for being her. And it's like, don't ever do it again. And then
Villanelle looks at her and goes, don't talk to me like that, Eve. I don't like it. The only thing interesting about you is me.
Yeah. I like you, but I don't like you that much.
Yeah.
And then later on, like, you know, Eve said something to Villanelle, like, I'm not like you. And Villanelle goes, oh, you mean you're not like us?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was talking about, like, yeah. She said something like, you know, oh, she said that line that Villanelle used later on, you know, you don't realize how hard it is to be, you know, peppy and upbeat or normal or something like that.
Yeah.
When it's you. And she's like, you mean when it's us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically she's like, you have to be honest in these things. She's like, how can I be honest when I'm pretending to be someone? I don't know, but you just have to be truthful. So she goes to the next meeting and basically talks about herself and who she really is. And she breaks down and she cries. And it was genius.
It was. Yeah. She basically says that she wakes up every day feeling absolutely nothing. And every day her first thought is, I have to do this again.
Yeah.
I have to keep going through this again. Nothing brings me joy. Nothing brings me any kind of emotion. I never feel anything. Why do I even bother?
I buy something, I don't want it.
Yep.
You know?
I eat something, I don't want it. Yep.
I shouldn't say this, but she kind of implied, like, you know, she gets with someone and then doesn't want to be with them.
Yep.
You know, nothing, there's nothing entertains her, nothing, everything's nothing to her.
Right.
Yeah. And then she talks to Peel's sister after.
Yes, which she tried to do the first day, and the handler,
and then the second day the handler does it again.
But she speaks it almost for the audience watching. You know, she's like, "Remember your agreement. You would not make any kind of connections with anybody at any of these meetings.
Yep.
As long as you were coming here. Now let's go." You're like,
"I'll see your friends in 5 minutes."
Yeah, that was an exposition dump right there.
So then Vanilla goes up front. Says, hey, I'm just trying to be friends with her. Well, you need to mind your business. I'm sorry. I'm just going through a rough time. Hug, push in front of a vehicle, in front of Eve. And I love how she looks at Eve after and goes, oh, like, just oopsie.
Yeah. And Eve isn't mortified.
Yeah.
Like, she looks, and then she's just like, huh, okay, got to do something about this.
I did watch the scenes from the next episode, and I think it's funny when Eve's boss there, the lady, she's like, we really need to make sure Villanelle doesn't kill any other people.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have control over that.
Right. But, like, not even she'll be arrested if she kills someone else. You just need to make sure she doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she literally suffered no consequences for what she did.
But, you know, her boss asked her very nonchalantly. She's just like,
oh, yeah.
Do you think it was an accident? She's like, oh, yes. She's like, okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, I heard about the accident. Are you okay? Yeah. That's a tough thing to witness.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, it's kind of crazy how the whole first season is, like, Eve tracking her down. And then seeing her. And then them having their confrontation together and everything else.
And then Eve stabbing her.
Yes. And then the second season is the repercussions of that. And then Eve moving on to somebody else. And then Villanelle getting, you know, and now they're back together again, working together, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I love this. Because this episode was phenomenal.
Because then she basically gets her to go have dinner with the brother and sister.
She gets invited to dinner.
And both Constantine and Eve are talking in her ear and saying, you know, you've got to say this, you've got to say this. And finally she just, like, takes the earpiece out, sticks it in a piece of food, and eats it. And they don't realize it because they're still trying to talk to her. Right. Constantine's finally like, I think she got rid of her earpiece. But you expect it. This is one of those moments that you see in movies and TV all the time. You know, he's basically calling her out on her degrees.
Yes, all the fake history that Eve had created for her, yes.
Yeah, you had philosophy degrees. He's like, well, what do you think of so-and-so? And you always expect these things to be like, you know, she suddenly pulls it out of her ass.
Right.
You know, because the character has this mysterious knowledge that you never realize that they... So, you know, she'd be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And you'd go, whoa! Nope, not in this case.
No, she sits on it, just dead stares.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes over and drops, like, a book on her lap. He's like, well, if you're going to pretend to know something, at least read about it first. Mm-hmm. And then that's when she's like... She basically, the little promo she cuts implies that she knew exactly what it was. Why should I talk to you or address you?
Yeah. And she's like, you're a bully.
Yeah. My father told me there's only one way to handle people like you. And then busts his nose with the book.
Slams him right across.
And his sister
walks out.
And his sister's like, yeah. Yeah. She's like, you're a bully. And then.
One of my favorite lines from the entire episode. Because you hear, like, because they've got the place bugged.
Yes.
And you hear, like, crack. And then she starts walking out, and Eve goes, what just happened? And all of a sudden, you hear the guy go, my nose is bleeding. And Constantine goes, well, that question was just answered.
And then she's like, and then Eve goes to run out after her, and Constantine's like, no, you're all over her.
Yeah.
You need to let her cool down.
Yep.
And so she goes and terrorizes these two ladies. Like, doesn't kill them, but just makes them feel very unsafe and, like, scared mm-hmm. and gets off on it.
Yep. Now, also, there was a little side story in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. The whole, like, the lamb thing on the meat spindle, you just put any kind of meat on there. I'm waiting for her to put a person on it now.
I am too.
Put any kind of meat on there. People eat it. Yeah, they don't care.
You know that that's what's coming.
It's mostly lamb. Mostly lamb?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, go ahead. A little side story.
Eve goes to confront Nico.
Yeah.
Because Nico is, you know, staying at that cute teacher's house because she has a fold-out sofa.
Yeah.
And so he's just crashing there. So he's like, I would have come to get my stuff. She's like, no, I brought it to you. Then the woman tries to be nice. And she's like, oh, you want to come in and have a cuppa?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm sure that Eve is too busy. She's like, no, I'd love to. And then she goes in and she makes everything really awkward.
Oh, yeah. Here's your bathroom. Oh, it's upstairs. I'm going to go in your room instead. And I'm going to break your music box and go through your underwear drawer.
And then wrap up the little ballerina from your music box in your underwear.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know where she was going with that. But then the teacher comes in and she's like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I was, and the teacher actually has the audacity to say, I don't want to be put in the middle of what's going on with you and him. And
oh, you
like,
don't.
Oh, you don't.
I love it. Nico, or are you afraid? Of course not. You know?
And then he comes up and he's like, I think you should apologize. She's like, no.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're obviously, no, I'm staying here because she has a pull-out sofa. And she's like, you know what?
This is my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you know what? I hope you like missionary. And the woman's like, actually, I do. This is a perfect place for you then. Yeah.
That show two more episodes great. Only this season.
I know.
I really enjoyed this season.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So do you have any news or anything you want to talk about before you jump into games? Because, you know, we don't want to spoil people. But I'm assuming by the time they listen to this.
Yeah, it'll be by the time they listen to this, it'll be going up when the final episode is airing.
So. Right.
But.
Out of a courtesy.
Yeah. So you want to cover everything else, the movies, trailers, news?
Yeah.
All right. Did you watch any movies?
No, I didn't.
Holy crap.
Oh, well, I saw Endgame.
Yeah, I saw Endgame again.
Yeah. Okay, it well, now that we've seen it twice, it was great.
Yeah.
Did you pick up anything the second time that you didn't
the Howard first the time? Duck. I hadn't seen him the first time.
That's right. You told me you had, and I didn't. I didn't see it the first
time. It's when Wasp comes out. He's like right behind her to her left. Yeah.
Nice.
Other than that, no. The same parts that infuriated me.
Yeah.
But I still loved it.
Yeah. The writers have come out and said that.
Oh, my God. They're shooting themselves in the foot.
Captain America, Steve, was always her husband. Those were always his kids.
Yeah. They just keep shooting themselves in the foot. Why can't they just let it be? They're like answering questions that they shouldn't be answering.
Well, it does feel like they're ending this end of this phase is like they're really starting over.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just tying up all these loose ends and answering all, and putting it all out there, which I can respect that in one way. Like they have that much confidence in what they've done into what they're going to do that they don't feel the need to, I guess, hide everything.
I told somebody else. Did I tell you about what I want to see from Hulk after this?
Maybe. Professor Hulk against Red Hulk?
Yeah, but you know how I want it to come about?
Nope.
Now that we've got Professor Hulk, and he obviously has control over Banner and the Hulk, I think it's high time that we got the cousin involved.
Oh, She-Hulk.
And we get She-Hulk.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, blood transfusion can happen now because he'll feel like he's safe and he knows how to control it, so he can teach her how to control it. We get ourselves a nice She-Hulk movie. The whole reason that he needs to transfuse her blood is because Thunderbolt Ross basically holds her hostage because he wants the secrets of Banner. Now that he sees that he can control it, he wants to make it a weapon.
Yep.
So he holds her hostage because he knows that Bruce will come for her because he'd never do it to his own daughter.
Right.
And then creates a situation where Bruce has to do that. And then he gets his hands on a blood sample as well and does the whole Red Hulk thing.
I want to see that now.
I do too. I thought of that the other day and I'm like, that would be so great. But we'll see if it happens.
Evidently, the writers of Endgame did not know that Spider-Man Homecoming was going to introduce the multiverse.
Which again, I'm 50-50 on that. I don't know if it's Mysterio fucking with him or if it's legit.
Right. Fair enough.
So
that'd be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah.
The Russo brothers said that they would come back if they got to do Fantastic Four and Doom, which please let them.
I was talking to somebody the other day and they go, now is Doom, like, is he a big bad guy? And I'm like, oh, he's phenomenal.
Yes.
If he's done right. Most recently, he destroyed the entire multiverse and rebuilt it in his own image and got to be God. Like, this is not just a normal human. This is a guy who puts Lex Luthor to shame.
Yes, I would love to see Dr. Doom.
Done right? I would absolutely. That's going to be one of those roles that whoever gets cast as Dr. Doom, it's going to be like when Patrick Stewart was cast as Xavier.
Yeah.
You know, or when Hugh Jackman was cast as Wolverine. That's going to be one of those roles that sticks with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm excited.
I would like to see, I would love to see the Russos do a good Fan 4 movie and do Doom and do everything like that. I don't know if this is in relation or not, but like, you know, in the comics, X-Men, they're completely rebooting the X-Men in the comics, the whole X-Men universe.
Again.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's going to play in with the new, how Marvel's going to handle the new X-Men. So.
Right.
We'll see, I guess. Disney now has full control of Hulu.
Yeah.
NBC Comcast or NBC Universal still owns their 33%, but they've given up the rights, the operating rights.
It's like a 5-year deal where at any time they can like demand they get bought out.
At the end of the 5 years, they can either demand Disney buys them out or they have the right to sell to somebody else.
Right.
And I wonder if that has to do like they had to maybe Universal wanted to sell to Disney.
Because that's the sticky wicket is the Universal part.
However, they probably couldn't because of FCC or because of the most recent, Disney-Fox trade. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to allow them to do it, maybe.
Right.
So they've just said, all right, here, we'll still maintain 33%, but you can just run it, do whatever. But what's good is the NBC content will still be on Hulu.
Yes. Yeah.
So that'll be good. They'll just take it over.
I watched a dumb movie the other day.
Yeah.
I put it on the background while I was doing some work around my room. There was one that I'd wanted to kind of know about, not really see, but kind of know about. Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
My daughter loves that.
Yeah. So when the original Teen Titans cartoon came out, I loved it.
Yep.
It was like an extension of Batman the Animated Series. You know, it was realistic. It was edgy. Not as edgy as, obviously, Titans on DC's network.
Right.
But it was grown-up kind of thing. It really reminded me of Batman.
Okay.
Which makes sense because Robin did it.
Right.
Then, for some reason, they canceled it and rebooted it as this god-awful schlock Teen Titans Go. Which is all,
I don't like at
it's,
all.
No, it's stupid. And I hate it. So watching this movie was painful. They made fun of themselves a lot. There was one funny line that I really liked when Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and Superman come down. And Superman is voiced by Nick Cage. And
that's cool.
He's sitting there in the sky and he's like, you know, you guys are jokes. You're losers. You know, you do stuff with waffles all the time. And like somebody throws a waffle and hits him in the face. And he goes, oh, somebody save me. And I'm like, Superman song from Smallville. So I thought it was a nice little nod. Like if they had the first few bars of the music, yeah, come in, it would have been good. Ultimately, though, I didn't need to watch this. I was interested, though, and I haven't looked this up yet. At the end, after the credits roll, there's like this static, and it's like a TV, an old school TV is trying to tune in, and you hear the Teen Titan voices going, you know, oh, we've almost got it. Hold on. Oh, no, no twist. And then right at the last second, it focuses in, and it's the old school Teen Titans, the classic ones. And they said, I think we found a way to come back. And then it goes black. Hmm. And I'm like, damn it. So, yeah, those were the only movies that I watched. I watched a couple of trailers, which I believe you did as well.
Yeah.
I Am Mother.
So that was watching the beginning of the trailer. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is neat. And then it took a twist. I'm like, oh, looks really good.
Yeah.
That's a Netflix flick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
And you won't get this, but I'm sure that there are people that listen to the podcast that will get this, and I'd love to know anybody out there who agrees with me. When I first saw the Mother Robot, I really, really wanted it to be GLaDOS's voice from Portal. I really wanted that to happen, and it didn't. And GLaDOS was the psychotic robot who was guiding you through the tests, air quotes, and she's phenomenal. And I really... She looked like one of the turrets from the game. I wanted it so bad. And, you know, Rose Byrne is cool, but they really should have gotten GLaDOS. Anyway, I digress.
But no, it's basically about this...
a human girl.
I know, but I can't think of the word I want to use. It's not a clone. It's just... And it wasn't even artificial insemination, but...
It's like a genetically modified...
I guess. Baby. Basically, they managed to grow a baby. And like, yep, a test tube baby, I guess, or yep, whatever. And this robot... has been raising this child until it's probably teen years, late teens, maybe early, even early 20s at this point.
Yep.
And then another human shows up.
Yeah. Well, she's been telling her that the world outside is terrible and I'm preparing you. And, you know, if everything goes right with you, then we can make more babies.
Right.
And then another human shows up. Right. And is like, basically the other human is saying, oh, those robots killed us all and they fight us all. And why is one of them raising you? And you need to get away. She's going to kill you. That looks cool.
Yeah. And Mother Ty kind of looks evil at the end.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
I did see a trailer today for Hush, the new animated Batman movie based on the comic Hush.
Oh, how's that?
It looks good.
Nice.
I mean, it's got great source material as long as they stick with it.
Yeah.
Get a nice scene of Poison Ivy mind controlling Superman.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can buy that.
Yeah. But we both watched the trailer for It Chapter 2.
We did, and it was really good. I like the fact that they didn't give away a ton.
Nope. But basically we got like a two-minute scene right out of the movie.
Yeah, right out of the book, actually, too.
With the creepiest old woman.
Yep.
Who we're led to believe is basically Pennywise's daughter.
Yes.
And now she's an old woman. And that one scene where, like, we're looking at Jessica Chastain looking at the wall.
Yeah.
And the woman, like, kind of goes by the doorway. And she's, like, twisting and creaking her butt. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then later on, she's looking at, like, this old photo. And it's Pennywise when he was a human clown. And this is his daughter. They're at the circus back in the day. And
yeah.
Yeah. It looks great.
It does.
It looks really good. And then, of course, we see... a little bit more of the other characters, you know, as adults.
Great shot there of all of them standing in front of the drugstore window and the reflection of them as kids.
Yes.
That was cool.
That was.
I'm going to go see this no matter what. I don't need to see another trailer. I don't want to see another trailer.
I knew I was going to go see it at the beginning. Yeah. I saw the movie in 2017 when it came out in theaters in Vermont.
Yep.
When my wife and I were on vacation, we were in Vermont. I went and saw it there. So
I went and saw it with Amanda Raggio.
Okay. Yep.
And she, because she had messaged me and we were talking. She's like, look, I know this sounds weird. I'm a cop, but I don't want to go to this movie alone. Will you go with me? And I'm like, yes, I will. So as soon as this trailer came out, I sent it to her. And I'm like, October. And she's like, shit, we're going to have to do that, aren't we? I'm like, yeah, we are.
Oh, did I watch Pet Sematary talk about it last episode?
Yes, you did.
Okay, all right. Because
I remember you telling us about the burning of the house.
And, disappointing.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
That was all the trailers. Some news that we've kind of talked about already.
Well, real quick, I have another little trailer.
Go right ahead.
I don't know if you see. Did you see the trailer for Catch 22?
No.
It's a Hulu original series. All episodes drop this coming Friday, the 15th.
Okay.
And let's see if I can find it. Let's see here. Give me 1 second.
One.
Give two, me more than one
three,
second. Here we go.
Four.
So it is a satirical dark comedy based on the novel by Joseph Heller.
Which is a famous novel.
Yes. And it's...
yeah. I'm already liking it.
Executive produced by George Clooney.
Uh-huh.
Directed by George Clooney as well. And basically it is... is described as who? Okay, Catch 22 is described by Hulu as the story of the incomparable artful dodger Yosari and a U.S. Army Air Force bombardier in World War II, who is furious because thousands of people he never met are trying to kill him. But the real problem is not the enemy, but rather that his own army keeps increasing the number of missions they must fly on to complete their service. Yet Yosari makes an attempt to avoid military assignment. He's in violation of Catch 22, a hilariously sinister bureaucratic rule which specifies that it concerns front home safety in the face of danger. Which are real immediate is the process of a rational mind. A man is considered insane if he willingly continues to fly into dangerous combat missions. But if he has to remove from duty because he knows he's in danger, then he's completely sane and he's eligible to be to stay in duty.
It reminds me of Corporal Klinger.
Yes, and that's what it is. And it just, I mean, it's got Christopher Abbott, Kyle Chandler, Hugh Laurie's in it, George Clooney, Daniel David Stewart, Austin Stoll. I mean, there's a great cast. The trailer looks hilarious. I don't know how many episodes it's gonna be, but it drops this the May 17th.
Awesome.
Yeah, it looks great. All episodes are being dropped at once, as opposed to how Hulu likes to do one a week.
Right.
It said all episodes can be put out at once.
Okay. Well, I'm down for that for sure.
So it looks great. Also, speaking of miniseries, I noticed that on Netflix they have damn it. The Quentin Tarantino flick takes place in the Old West. The Bounty Hunters. I own this movie, and I really enjoy this movie.
Magnificent?
No. Magnificent Seven was something different.
Is it the one with...
The Hateful Eight.
There you go.
So, evidently, the film was re-edited and re-released as a 4-episode miniseries on Netflix called The Extended Version. And it is only, I think it's like 20 minutes longer. So they added some stuff in here and there. But maybe it's even longer than that, actually. I don't know. But they added a bunch of stuff into it, allegedly, and extended it. And I'm going to have to watch it.
Okay.
But each episode is about an hour, which would make it a 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
It was a 3-hour movie. So, I mean, I feel like they added more than that, you know? Whatever. Anyways.
Don't forget, by the way, public service announcement. May 31st, the end of this month, all 6 episodes of Good Omens will be dropping on Amazon.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
The Terry Pratchett one? That's going to be great.
Nice.
Apparently, the director of John Wick 3
yep.
said that, oh, by the way, the Wachowskis are working on another Matrix movie.
This is the Wachowski sisters?
Yeah. They're now just called the Wachowskis.
Okay.
They should have stopped at one, but whatever. So I just thought that was interesting. The Orville has been officially renewed for season 3.
Yes, I saw that. And the Passage was canceled.
Yeah, I'm sad about that. Yeah. But again, what we talked about, you know, if it had to go out I like where it went.
I'm not completely upset about how it ended.
I kind of want to read the book now. You know, yes. I want to see if the book ends there.
Now that now that I know that the TV series is done, yeah, I actually kind of want to do too. But let's focus back on the great news. The Orville is renewed. I'm very excited about that.
This Is Us was renewed for 3 more seasons.
Yeah, and apparently they have storylines for the next 3 seasons. Like, they have it all mapped out.
That's going to be terrible. Apparently they're rebooting the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie. Josh Gad is going to be starring in it. I like him. He's a good guy. But again,
it's not a show.
I'm tired of the word reboot.
Yeah, me too.
I just come up with something original, people. Stop this. Mortal Kombat is getting a reboot, the movie.
Okay.
Again, it falls under the why category. And then the last piece of news that I'm going to hold off on this last piece of news until we get done talking about Game of Thrones, because it kind of has to do with Game of Thrones.
Okay. My one other thing is Slasher Season 3 is released on Netflix May 29th.
Okay.
So just the first 2 seasons I thought were great. This third season is once again, because this is the new style anthology series, which is each season is a different storyline from beginning to end.
Yep.
First season was The Executioner. Second season was Guilty Party. And the third season is called Solstice. And evidently the third season has to do with, oh crap, where'd it go? I had it right here. All right, now I can't find my note on it.
Okay.
Well, that sucks.
It never existed.
Well, it did. That's the thing. Let's see if it's right here. Hold on. No, it's not. Oh, well. Okay. Well, can't do anything about it now.
Okay.
Oh, finally. Here it is. it's going to be 8 episodes centers around a killer disguised as a druid hunting down the witnesses who did nothing while a young man was killed in front of their apartment complex. So people who witnessed the murder and didn't do anything about it, this person's hunting them down. Looks solid as a rock. Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. So we have 2 episodes to talk about here.
We do. We have The Last of the Starks.
And The Bells.
And The Bells.
So let's start with The Last of the Starks.
Okay.
Last of the Starks comes right on the trail of The Long Night, the darkest episode in the entire history of the series.
You mean dark because of content or dark because of
how it was filmed?
Okay.
So The Last of the Starks is probably one of the more famous episodes to this point because of the whole Starbucks coffee cup controversy. You know, and was it Emilia Clarke's? No. Was it Sophie Turner's? Maybe. You know, somebody left it on the table in the shot. HBO has gone about digitally removing it now, but it was still on my DVR copy. Not that it matters. But yeah, that was the least impressive thing of the entire episode. So this, for most of this episode, it was basically just them like celebrating.
Well, it opens with them burning everyone.
Yes.
They've cleaned up Winterfell quite well. They have lots of pyres out there. People say goodbye to Theon and Jorah and the other ones that they felt were important, and then they burnt them all. And then they go inside to the very somber dinner.
Until it's not. Until the alcohol starts flowing, and then we've got drinking games, and we've got Tormund, who is just going absolutely apeshit.
My favorite line of his in this episode is, "Which one of you bastards shit in my pants?"
Yes. And the woman who, you know, she's like, "I'm not afraid of wildlings." And he's like, "All right then." And
yeah.
Then comes down later and he's like, "She didn't like me." It was, you know, this was typical storytelling type of stuff. You know, we got to see. Okay, first off, Daenerys naming what's his name there as the leader of Storm's Break.
Gendry.
Yeah.
He's Robert Baratheon's bastard.
And she just like unilaterally is like, "By the way, I'm naming you a full person and I'm saying that you're in charge of Storm's Break."
Yeah. Storm's End.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, "Hooray!"
Well, she's the queen. She has the power to do that.
Yeah, it's still bullshit.
Well,
she's an idiot.
It's just to make her, it's an ally for her. That's all it is.
It's a stupid ally because, for one thing, he's a blacksmith. He has no ability to lead that we know of. He has no, like, he's going to go down there and be like, I'm your new ruler. And they're going to go, fuck you are.
Well, unfortunately, though.
It doesn't matter.
In the times of which they lived in, that's how it worked. Regardless of your skill and ability. If you were the heir, then you were the heir.
Okay, let's change that a little bit. Let's say the world that they live in. Because this didn't happen like 100 years ago to us.
No. Sorry, the world that they live in.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was kind of that way in some areas, like medieval times.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they had, like, King Tut was 13 and was the ruler of... You know what I mean? Like, all that shit like that.
So, basically, he goes and finds Arya, you know, the first woman that he really liked, and says, be my queen. Come be my lady. And she's like, no, I'm not a lady. She's like, I've got stuff to do. And turns him down.
You'll make someone a very great husband.
But it won't be me.
Won't be me, yeah. That's not who I am.
And... So, yeah, we get that little tie-up thing there. Daenerys talks to Jon and says he tells her who he is.
Yeah, he tells her that. Well, no, he already knew that. She knew that before the battle.
Did she?
Yes. Okay. They knew that at the end of episode 2. And this one, he tells her, she comes to see him. Because basically, she's sitting there at the party. She's watching Tyrion and Jaime talking with Brienne. She's watching Tormund gush all over Jon Snow like he wants to suck his dick. Mm-hmm. And how great he is. And he rode a dragon. He did all this other stuff. And, oh, my God, what kind of a man are you? And this is why we follow you. And this is why you're our king. And blah, 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 blah.
And Daenerys is like, this could be a problem.
Right. And Daenerys is there by herself. Varys sitting next to her. Or Varys, whatever. Varys sitting next to her. Mm-hmm. And she gets up and goes back to her room. She leaves. And then she goes to see Jon, and she wants to get funky with it. But Jon's like, oh, you're my aunt. I can't do that. Whereas Daenerys grew up in a time where that was normal.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not doing anything wrong. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're not related enough, really, to be doing based on our family history.
That's right.
But Jon's just like, I can't. We're family. This is wrong. We can't do this.
So then she flips it on him.
Yeah.
And she's basically like, you will never tell anybody who you are because those people out there will follow you because you're a man. He's like, I don't want the throne. Yeah, and she goes, it doesn't matter. They're going to put you on it anyway. Yep. And he's like, well, I don't want it. I'll refuse it. And she goes, it's not going to matter. Never tell anyone. You're not allowed to tell anyone ever.
Yep.
And he's like, I wish we could be together. And she goes, I just told you how. And then storms off.
Right.
On. He's like, fuck, I better go tell some people.
So then he promptly goes and tells his sisters.
And swears them to secrecy. Which
he doesn't actually tell them. He makes Bran tell them.
Right, exactly. He's like, I've got to tell you something, and you've got to swear you won't ever say anything about it. And like they're like, no, we don't want to wait. And he's like, fuck, just swear. And they're like, all right, we swear. And he goes, Bran, tell him.
Yeah.
You dick.
And then later on, Sansa tells Tyrion.
Yeah. Because, you know, nobody could keep a fucking secret in that show.
And then Tyrion tells Varys.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong person to tell a secret to.
So these people all had their own motivations. Jon wanted his sisters to know because he wanted them to know who he really was, that he understood his place in the world, and he still wants to take the knee to Daenerys.
Right. His way of telling them that I'm actually the heir to the throne, but I don't want it, I'm still going to follow her, is hopefully they'll fall in line.
Nope.
That's what he hopes. But the fact of the matter is, Jon Snow was already killed once for trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he learn?
No. He didn't. He didn't at all.
No. So, So then Sansa tells Tyrion because she's like, look, if anyone is going to make this happen, it is the most intelligent man that I know.
Yeah.
You need to know this because you're going to come up with some kind of scheme and you're going to make this happen because she doesn't trust Daenerys. Yeah. And she doesn't believe that Daenerys has Jon's best interest at heart, especially if she sees him as a threat. She's like, if he even looks like a threat, she's going to kill him. So she's looking out for her brother. I get it. She's also looking out for her own best interest. And so that's why she tells Tyrion. Tyrion telling Varys, I have no idea why he would do that.
Because it's his oldest trusted friend.
But they had an awesome conversation in the card about penises and why it makes a difference. It's like, you know, as somebody who doesn't have a penis, I would think that you would, of all people, would realize that that doesn't make you a good person. Right. He's like, he has a penis. That's exactly why they're going to put him on the throne.
Exactly. Yeah. Varys states, his statement is that he's, you know, because Tyrion says to him, like, don't, you know, shouldn't you just pick one person and get behind them?
Yeah.
How many kings and queens have you served under? And this and that. And at the end, Varys was like, I'm not there for a person. I'm there for what's best for the realm. What's best for the people as a whole, no matter who it is.
Right. And which is what Daenerys originally was about.
Right, yes. And so to him, like, he doesn't have a loyalty to Daenerys. He has a loyalty to whoever was going to be the best for the people. Mm-hmm. And in his mind, that's Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. Now that he knows that Jon Snow is the rightful heir, in his mind, that's Jon Snow. Because, like he says, shouldn't we want someone on the throne that doesn't want to be there?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody who's going to rule in the best interest of the people, not because he's like, aha, I've got power.
Exactly.
You put someone in power who doesn't want the power.
Yep.
And they're going to be the one to share it with everybody. So we have, like, there are a few little quibbles here and there. Brienne and Jaime finally get together.
Yep.
Some people had some big problems with the fact that, you know, Jaime took off and Brienne was crying. They're like, oh, she's the big tough woman. That's not a sign of weakness.
No. She just had her heart broken.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's all been building up to this. And she knows that this guy who she finally opened up to is going to march off to his death.
Yes.
You know, he didn't say, I'm going back to Cersei because I love her. He said, she's awful and I'm awful too. And he's basically going to end her.
Right.
And then we have Jon Snow abandoning his direwolf ghost, you know, because the South is no place for a direwolf. Take him up north, Tormund. You know, you can give him a good life up there. And then never even says goodbye to him. Like, Ghost is standing right there, and he doesn't go over and pat him and say, you've been a good dog or anything. He's just like, fuck off.
Well, I read a thing, allegedly, that the actor there asked if he could. Like, and they're like, oh, it's not in the budget.
Yeah. Yeah, we could put you on a CGI dragon, but we don't have the budget for the dog.
Yeah, we can have a CGI dragon, like, you know, burn the motherfucking city down.
Yeah.
But we can't have you pet your wolf.
That's right. Yeah, it's out of the budget.
You just have to nod.
Yeah. So up until this point, we had a fairly standard Game of Thrones episode.
Okay? Yeah.
Nothing really out of the ordinary. We had people talking, people celebrating, people scheming. You know, this is all standard Game of Thrones fare.
And they make their plan and they're going to head to King's Landing.
But see, this is where things start to go a little awry and then go right off the fucking rails. Okay. Because first their plan is like, oh, we're going to have most of the armies march right down the road to King's Landing. But, you know, we're going to take like 6 boats and 2 dragons and fly out ahead and sail out ahead and, you know, go see what the place looks like.
Yeah.
We know that the Iron Fleet is down there with 200 ships, but we'll just take like a half dozen boats and a couple of dragons.
Yeah.
We'll go see what's going on.
Yep.
So then we get these beautiful shots of Daenerys and her 2 dragons because, you know, Jon's not on the other one.
Because it took a beating and it needs to heal and doesn't need my weight on it.
Right.
And I like, was it Tormund's or like, your weight be like 2 fleas fucking.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It was a plot device to make sure that dragon wasn't mounted for when we got the biggest bullshit reveal in the entire history of this fucking show. This was complete horseshit.
What?
The fact that those ships came out of zero, nowhere, nothing. Like, all of a sudden they appear behind a rock. Like, she looked down and there was nothing in the water. And then suddenly it's like, oh, they quickly come out from behind a rock. But before they came out from behind the rock, they managed to use pinpoint accuracy and shoot giant ballista and knock a dragon out of the sky. Kill it.
Yeah.
3 shots, 3 hits. Never again hit a dragon. Never again did one of those ballista hit a dragon.
No.
But those first 3 shots were absolutely impeccable at that range in that sky. And they never saw those ships coming. Bullshit. That is absolute horseshit. There is no way anybody is going to convince me otherwise. It was a completely ridiculous plot device to get rid of one of the dragons. It was the laziest kind of writing in the entire world. make your counterpoint.
Oh, I don't have a counterpoint.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't.
Oh, you look like you were like, okay, I got this.
No, I don't have a counterpoint. I didn't think it was as bullshit as you, but with them coming out of nowhere, but at the same time, I knew they were going to kill that dragon. When Jon wasn't on the dragon, I knew the dragon was something was going to happen because here's the thing. In classic storytelling, you know, your good guy who's going to come out on top can't have too much of an advantage.
Right.
They have to be back on their heels. They have to be made to look weak and you know, yeah, they made it look weak.
They have to struggle a little bit.
They have to battle back from under. Yep. You know, and her not losing. That's why I was surprised both dragons made it out of the battle with the Night King.
I would have rather that dragon had been taken down by the White Walkers.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a more noble death, and it would have been less bullshit. You know? Yeah. Then these ballistas come out, and they're firing at Drogon, and he's darting in and out, and that would have been okay. But as it was, completely bullshit.
And then Daenerys kind of does a Novus dive at him and then pulls off at the last second.
Because they're firing 16,000 ballistas. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, 200 ships.
Yeah.
Each one of them has a ballista. They're all firing. And yeah. She doesn't get hit by one of them.
No.
You know, Huron, pinpoint accuracy on that first dragon.
Well, my thought was target. Must you know, can hit them a lot easier when they don't see it coming, I guess.
But then when Daenerys is nose diving.
It was garbage. Yeah.
She's coming right at him. I mean, that is the easiest target in the world to hit.
Yeah.
So,
no, I knew the dragon. I knew the dragon was going to die.
So
they were going to make it to King's Landing with both of them.
So then she fucks off into the sky.
Yeah.
And they say, "Oh, let's take and turn our ballistas on their ships." And they start ripping up the ships of.
Oh, Dinner those are just shredding the ships.
Shredded. Yeah. Now this is something that has been a problem for Game of Thrones this season and last season, is where it's so condensed down and the time is limited, there are big gaps. Whereas before, remember the show, we were complaining because it showed you everything. Like yes. It showed you every step that the Hound and Arya took.
Right.
Going off on their thing. And we were like, Jesus Christ, just skip some stuff. Well, now they skip too much. Because we see the ships getting shredded. We see Daenerys is fucked off. We're like, oh, people are doomed. The next thing that we see is Daenerys and company standing in front of the gates of King's Landing.
No, that was the next thing we saw.
What was the next thing we saw?
The next thing we saw was them at whatever Daenerys' castle thing there. Grey Worm washing ashore. He's looking for his girlfriend, doesn't find her. You know, Tyrion and Varys wake up on the shore as well.
Right, yes.
We get all that. And then we get her saying, like, I'm going to go fucking kill them all.
Yeah.
I'm burning the place down. And you get Tyrion going, no, let's go offer her a surrender first. And she agrees to it. Daenerys agrees. Okay, yep, because I don't want the people to say I didn't give her a chance.
Right. And Tyrion says, you know, and let's not kill innocent people if we don't have to.
Exactly.
Let's show them mercy. You're the breaker of chains, not the roaster of people.
So then they're in front of the city. They're in front of the gates.
Which, first off, the walls of the city now have these ballista on them as well.
Yes.
They've got about four or five of them trained right on Daenerys, Tyrion, Jon Snow, the Unsullied.
Yeah.
And the dragon.
The dragon's in the background in a little distance, but yeah.
Walking around on the ground. Why they didn't just say fire?
Honor.
No. This is not pirate times. There's no parlay. They literally. This is Cersei. This is Cersei who blew up the temple in the town with wildfire to stop the Sparrow.
Right.
Okay? This is Cersei who will fucking go to any length. She brought Sir Gregor back from the dead just so that she could control him. Like, there is no reason that she should not have said, open fire. At least take out the dragon. Probably take out Jon Snow and Daenerys. They could have, they had them dead to rights. They're literally standing in front of these ballista. And the archers. Like, they had archers mounted on the wall, behind the wall. They could have just rained hell and won the war right then and there.
Well, they chose not to.
It was stupid.
Well, no, because we got to see.
Stupid writing.
We got to see that Daenerys gives Cersei the chance to surrender, and then surrender shows her that she's not. She's going to behead her friend that they kidnapped.
Yeah. How'd that happen? They found her in the water. They just happened to go, oh, that girl right there. I'll bet you she's important. The one person that they took hostage happened to be Missandei.
Well, it's the only one we know they took hostage. But yes, you're right. It's too big of a coincidence.
It's too big of a coincidence because then it not only gets Grey Worm's goat, it gets Daenerys' goat.
Right, and now Daenerys has nobody.
Yeah, and she got the lip quiver and the... You know, she has nobody except for everybody else who has pledged to stand by
her. Well, yeah, but her best friends, Jorah's dead.
Yeah.
Her trusted confidant's dead. Jon Snow doesn't want to fuck her anymore, and he's the rightful king, and so she's threatened there. Her hand that has not really been looking out for her best interests the last few days, mostly his own or other people, but he's not being the blind, loyal servant.
Right.
You know? So, and she knows Jon probably told his sisters, even though she begged him not to, what the truth is, because she knows it'll get around. And, killing Masamba or whatever. Masande, whatever. Thank you. You know, that's just the icing on the cake, which is what's going to lead to what happens in the next episode. So that's how it ends, basically.
Yeah, they cut off Masande's head.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, aw, and turns around and walks away.
Yeah. And then...
Again, horse shit.
Episode 5, The Bells.
Horse shit.
It opens up with Varys writing notes, basically telling, writing down, you know, John is the true king.
Yeah, he's Aegon Targaryen, yeah. The rightful heir to the Iron Throne.
And,
We don't know if he got any of them out.
We don't know if he got any out, but I feel like he did because he spent way too much of the episode writing that same note, you know, the only one he note time and time again.
Yeah.
So I feel like he got the message out.
He burned one of them when they came to take him.
Yes. At the end, he burned his last one. Yeah. But I think he got some of those messages out because basically Varys confronts John and he's like, you need to be the king because you need to be. You're the best job for the realm. And John's like,
Previously on Game of Thrones that reminded us over and over again, they say every time a Targaryen is born, the gods flip a coin.
Yeah.
And he says to Jon Snow, he's like, I know which way the coin flipped for you.
Right.
We still don't know what it's going to flip for her. You know, foreshadowing.
Oh, absolutely. So then Tyrion tells Daenerys that Varys betrayed her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, no, Jon betrayed me. Because John told his sisters exactly what I told him not to do. And then...
They told you.
They told you. And then you told Varys.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't you come talk to me and ask permission to tell Varys or whatever? And he's like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry, my queen. Your grace. Blah, blah, blah. And you betray me again. And then he immediately goes and betrays her.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, by the way, we caught your brother trying to get into the city. So he immediately goes and lets
him... That was another off-screen thing. No. Like, last time we saw Jaime, he was leaving... the north,
yeah,
to go down and take out Cersei.
The same thing with the Hound and Arya. Last time we saw them was leaving the north.
Yeah.
The next time we see them, they're walking through the gates with the other people heading into the Red Keep.
And in this one, it's, oh, we caught Jaime. The fuck you did?
Yeah.
Like, why would you have caught him? He was on your side.
Yeah.
When you left him up there, he was on your side. Right. Why would you have been like, stop that man, capture him?
Fair enough. I actually didn't even consider that.
It made no sense. But they've got him all tied up. It
gives the great moment of Tyrion going over to Jaime and talking about, you're the only one that was ever treated me that not like a monster. And you're my brother, and I love you, brother. And go save our sister. Just get her out of there. Start a new life somewhere. Blah, blah, blah.
There'll be a boat waiting for you in the harbor.
Yeah.
Make sure you ring the bells. If you ring the bells.
Get the city to surrender and ring the bells.
Yes. And that'll signify that they've surrendered. The battle will be over. Yes. We don't have to kill anybody.
So Jaime heads out, and then...
And nobody notices.
Yeah.
Nobody sees him. You know, these great guards that caught a guy that shouldn't have been caught coming down the road are now like, didn't see nothing.
There. So now we start the battle. Everyone's there. The battle starts.
Oh, no.
No?
No, first Varys had to be punished.
Oh, that's right. Varys is punished before Jaime is even freed. Varys is punished. Yeah. He's executed for treason.
Yeah.
By Dany having her dragon... burn him.
Her dragon, Drogon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really clever right there.
Change the 8-0. Well, hey. Maybe Drogon. Maybe they transpose the A and the O.
And you know what my first thought was? Just because I look out for the animals, is Drogon's probably hungry. Why not have him eat Varys?
I was wondering the same thing.
Like, he could just lean over and...
Apparently a dragon has never-ending fire.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember a couple seasons back when she took out boats and they like had to sit there and focus fire for a while and then breathe in a little bit and be like, ugh.
They're older now?
Well, one of them is.
So they attack the city.
Okay.
And no. It starts with... No, what do you mean no?
No. They attack the boats.
Well, yeah, they got to get rid of the Iron Fleet first. And this time she can easily swoop in at them while they're firing at her, avoid all the arrows, and burn the whole Iron Fleet down.
Yep. Yep, just like that.
Yeah, and burn all the arrow, all the launchers off the top of the walls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And not only that, apparently come in from the other side of the wall and blow a hole. That was kind of cool, though.
It was. So basically, the Golden Company, the mercenary army that we've been hearing about all this time, you know, for seasons now, they're talking about, oh, the Golden Company, if we can afford them, blah, blah, blah. We'll take all the money that we can. And they put them up there. Okay, who the fuck was the guy in the front of them?
Don't know, but he died pretty quick.
They kept focusing on him like we were supposed to know who he is, like we were supposed to care.
I don't know who he was.
And then he got killed. He should have just gotten killed in the trample, but he got killed by Grey Worm. Yeah. So, Daenerys suddenly, like, has cheat mode on, is essentially all I can figure.
I know, yeah.
She annihilated that Iron Fleet.
Yep.
And then came through, like you said, the back part of the city, blew open the front gate for everybody, and in the process annihilated the entire Golden Company. So this whole grand battle we were promised was nothing.
Now it's a skirmish in the streets, kind of. Well, not even that, because essentially they charge into the city. Now it's blown open. She takes out all the other, you know, dragon killing balusters or whatever off the top of the walls. They're all gone. And then Cersei's hand, you know, tells her, hey, he's like, we need to get out of here. So, no, one good shot will do it. No, you don't understand. She's destroyed them all. Well, the Iron Fleet's burning in the harbor. The Iron Fleet's gone. Like, she single-handedly took out all of the defenses.
Remember what you were saying earlier about how the hero can't be too powerful?
Well,
the hero was too powerful.
As I'm watching this, because I remember talking to Kate before we watched this episode, and I said, I wonder if this battle is going to go on between two episodes or not. And she's like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. We're talking about it. And I said to her, I go, you know what no one would see coming? And she goes, what? I go, Cersei wins. No one would see that coming.
No, they wouldn't.
And, you know, she's like, yeah. I go, but you know what I think is going to happen? I said, I feel like they're going to win the battle in this episode, and the next episode is going to be all about Jon and Daenerys battling over the throne for whatever reason. Oh, yeah, maybe, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as I saw her wipe out the Iron Fleet and the defenses on the walls and everything so easily, I'm just like, I looked at him like, we got like an hour left.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going like, oh, shit. I think she's going to go crazy. And just because at first, and then, all right, so they ring the bells. The men drop the
weapons. Still don't know who rang the bells, because Jaime was fucking off in the cove. Right.
But they rang, the city surrendered, the bells were
there wrong. Was a really cool standoff where Jon and his men all showed up and they were facing off against the Royal Guard.
Yep.
And everyone was just kind of standing there facing each other.
Yep.
Like they didn't know what they wanted to do.
And the dragons on the wall roaring, I guess, for the, you know, whatever noise, whatever dragons do.
And then the captain of the guard, well, the guy in the front just throws down his sword, and then all the rest of the guards throw down their swords, and it's like, okay, they've surrendered.
We don't have to do anything. The townsfolk start yelling, ring the bell, ring the bell, all the way up to Cersei, and Cersei's like, shit, we've lost. Like, now, that easily, we've lost.
Now, let's take a moment to look at that. The fuck was her plan?
I don't know. I think she thought things were going to hold up long better.
I think we all did, for starters.
Yeah, I do.
And I think that Cersei had no plan. She had no tactical retreat. She had no plan outside of, I got more men.
Yep.
So that leads you to believe she's a really shitty queen. Like, she was never going to be good at that job.
Probably not.
That's kind of one of your first things is, you know, you got to be prepared to make the decisions that say, this is our plan, and if that fails, then this other plan happens.
I mean, I appreciate that we only had 6 episodes this season.
I do, too, because they sucked.
But
for the most part.
And most of the episodes are extended episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's not like if they would have broken them down to the normal running time that they did Game of Thrones, we'd have more like 9 or 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But I think they rushed the story too much.
They really did.
I think they rushed like the battle with the night with the White Walkers too much. I think they rushed this King Landing's thing too much, because essentially they ring the bell, the town surrendered, Cersei's been defeated, and you see Daenerys sitting there and she's just becoming pissed. And at first when she took off again, I thought they were going to go and she's going to kill Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to take her dragon and just burn out Cersei. And instead, she literally starts to murder civilians, the townsfolk, and burn the whole burn King's Landing to the ground.
Now, I don't want you to take offense to this.
What?
But I've got to say this, okay? Her turn like that.
Yeah.
Okay, her up until this point being, you know, breaker of chains, blah, 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 mother of dragons, for her to all of a sudden, out of the blue, be like, yes, we've taken the castle, we're good, you know, I'm going to go murder people.
Yeah.
I have not seen a more ridiculous heel turn outside of professional wrestling.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
And again, I'm not making fun of professional wrestling. I'm talking those weird ones where it's like, you know, two tag team partners who have been working together for years, and out of the blue, one of them just clocks the other one in the head and goes, "Yeah, I'm the winner." And you're like, "Where the fuck did that come from?" You know.
Well, I think if you look, there's been the underlining slow build from episode two. Well, no, from all the way back when we met Daenerys, that the one focal point she had was that to become the queen, was to take over the Seven Realms, to take her a rightful place at the Iron Throne. That's been her tunnel vision from the beginning. And she's done some shitty things along the way.
In the beginning, she was there to free people. And then the men kind of convinced her, you belong on the Iron Throne.
Well, but she's done some shitty things along the way. Like when she
cooked the Tarleys alive?
Well, okay, before that even, when she got the Unsullied army, she traded one of her dragons for it, and then had her dragon kill the guy. So she basically made a deal and then reneged on the deal.
Yep.
And, you know, she did a lot of things to free the people. But in doing so, it's murdered a ton of people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But her one focus the whole time was King's Landing and taking the throne. Until she met Jon and fell for Jon. And then she went and fought Jon's battle up by the White Walkers. But she was convinced that she had to, and even lost a dragon to them. Then she finds out that Jon's the rightful heir. And as soon as, like, I was surprised that they told her that at the end of season episode two. Because to me, it was like, from that point, I immediately thought, oh, I wonder when she's going to kill Jon. Because her focal point this whole time has been the throne. And now the biggest threat for her to the throne is this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she snapped and she started killing all the people in episode five and burning King's Landing to the ground, it's just like, well, her dad was the Mad King. That's why Jaime killed him. Clearly, she finally snapped.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
Yes, it's to an extreme degree.
That's the thing is, you snap in a case like that with all the stuff that you're talking about building up.
Yeah.
You don't murder... No. Civilians. You don't just run around burning.
But,
like, she didn't even go after Cersei. She never went after Cersei.
But
she just killed for the sake of killing.
You're right. But if you hear earlier in the episode, or maybe the episode before that, when she's like, we need to breach the walls and get Cersei any way we can. And Tyrion's just like, yes, but you can't murder all those innocent people and kill all those innocent people. And basically she said, well, no, it's okay because, you know, they'll die now to stop the tyranny for their future generations that don't have to live underneath it.
I do remember her saying that.
You know what I mean? So basically she was like, yeah, but if all these innocent people die, it's okay. If we stop Cersei in the end and I take the throne around, then it doesn't matter because future generations.
Tried to stop Cersei. That's the thing.
You're right. She never did.
If she'd gone right up there and cooked Cersei alive and then said she was turning on the city,
yep,
then it would have been more believable. But in this case, she was just like, fuck it, I'm killing him.
I almost feel like she wanted Cersei to see her burn the city down to show her that she's taking everything from her.
Maybe.
That's what I can think of. And then, so Cersei in the mountain and her hand and other guards, they start heading down.
Well, wait, don't forget that Jaime's waiting at the boat. Oh, but wait, Curon survived. Literally the only member of the Iron Fleet survives, shows up in that one specific cove that Jaime's going to be in with his little boat so that they can have their fight and he can taunt Jaime by saying that he fucked the queen and,
yep,
you know, I put a baby in her. So they fight stupidly. I mean, Jaime's got a golden hand and this guy's kind of worn out from the 6 miles that he had to swim.
Right, right.
In record time. And so they fight gloriously.
Yep.
Bad. And Huron sticks him in the side, like stabs right through his side.
Yep, both sides.
Pretty deep. Yeah, and then he hits the other side. So he's got both of them in there. And then Jaime runs him through with a sword and starts twisting.
Well, my wife had to look away.
Oh.
She's like, tell me when it's done.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
And then we get this one of the stupidest lines that I've ever seen where Jaime takes off and Huron could have gone out cool and said, you know I got you. You know you're already dead. But no, instead he looks up at the camera and goes, I'm the man that killed Jaime Lannister.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares? If you said I'm the man that killed Daenerys Stormborn, sure. But
yeah,
who fucking cares? And he didn't even kill him.
No, he didn't actually.
The castle killed him.
So now we finally catch up to the Hound and Arya, and the Hound wants to go after his brother, and Arya wants to go after Cersei, and basically the Hound's like, "You need to stop living for revenge. You know, that's all I've ever done. Look what's happened to me. I'm not coming back. You know, like, I'm going up there, and I know I'm not coming back. Like, you need to go."
Yeah.
And she kind of finally takes the heart, and she heads out.
Which, smartest character.
Yeah.
Like, she continues to be very smart. She's like, "Oh, okay, you're right.
See and then ya." She says, she even says his name, Sandor, you know, thank you.
Yep.
And I was waiting for him to say, like, he loved her or whatever, because she is the closest to anything he's ever loved and cared about, clearly.
Part of me would have loved to see him, like, throw a tunic to her like Mean Joe Green. Hey, kid. But, yeah, exactly. It was a very, it was a touching moment without being anywhere near touching.
So they're heading down the Cersei and the mountain, God. and her couple guards, and her hand head down the stairs, and they run into the Hound, and he's like, "Yo, Grace," and then
which is funny.
Yeah, the other two guys head down there, the other two or three guards, and he easily kills them.
He Inigo Montoya's them.
Oh, big time bad. And then he's like, wants the Hound, and the Hound goes to advance. No, he wants
the mountain.
The mountain. I mean, the mountain goes to advance, and Cersei's like, "Don't leave my side." And he basically ignores her, and then the Hand's like, "You heard what your queen said?" And he dies fast.
The Mountain just grabs him by the face and throws him so hard on a piece of rock that his head just, like, splutes open in the back.
Yeah, he's dead fast. And then Cersei leaves. She's like, "Okay, all right, let me get out of here then."
Okay, that was almost comical. That was like something you would see in a high school play where the kids haven't rehearsed enough, and one of them's supposed to be off stage, and they're just like, like, these two guys are facing off, and she's just like, I guess I'll just leave. And like, like, the Hound could have easily just cut her head off and then double that. No, because he was so focused on the mountain. I'm like, that was hilarious. It was, again, piss poor writing, but it turned out hilarious in my opinion.
We get the awesome battle between the Mountain and the Hound.
Thank you for calling it an awesome battle and not what everyone online is calling it.
What?
Clegane Bowl.
Oh, whatever.
The two Clegane brothers.
No. We had an awesome battle between the two of them.
Yes.
And
it was one of the more realistic ones that we've had this season.
It most certainly was. And I love it when he knocks the Mountain's helmet off goes, and you see him and he's like, "Oh, I see you, brother."
He goes, "Oh, yep, that's you."
Yeah.
Which, this is like the third actor to play the Mountain, so
yeah,
it's funny as shit that he would say that.
And they keep battling, and the Hound beats him, runs him through and beats him, but his brother won't die.
Because he's a zombie.
Yeah, and then he ends up even getting his armor off him and fighting him, and I love the point where the Mountain is choking him, and the Hound pulls out a blade and starts stabbing him, and he's just like, "Oh, would you fucking die?" And he just keeps stabbing just and dagger. Stabbing like, and stabbing. Yeah. And then the Mountain starts going for his eyes. And he stabs him in the eye, which blindly manages to stab him in the eye, which staggers him back. And it's just, there's this, I don't know, there's something about the scene with the Hound with one eye looking barely at his brother. Yeah. And he charges, his brother pulls the blade out of his head. And he's like, "There's no way I'm going to kill him without it." And he just charges at him. They burst through that wall. And they both just fall hundreds of feet or whatever it is into the fiery pit that is King's Landing. I mean,
it was great.
It was great.
Again, that felt like old school Game of Thrones.
Yes. Like, yes, it did.
What we've all been wanting.
I'm jumping around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We get Jaime and Cersei finally meet up in the map room.
So when Daenerys started going nuts,
I was
going
to go back to that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We get them meeting up in the map room. And then they go down, like Tyrion said, to go down, down, down. But then they get to the chamber, and there's all these cave-ins. They can't get out. And
Cersei starts going, "I want my baby to live. Yeah. I want our baby to live. I want our baby to live. I want
don't
our baby
let me
to live.
Die. Don't let me die. Yeah.
And Jaime, like, hugs her and kind of strokes her hair and then looks at her and says, "Nothing else matters."
Yeah. And then collapse on him. And they're definitely dead. But was that just not a very unfulfilling death
for Cersei? That was a terrible death for Cersei.
As if, like when Joffrey died, that was like, motherfucker!
Dude, most of the deaths. The Red Wedding.
Yes.
Ned Stark. I mean, Robert Baratheon.
Yeah.
Every one of them has had, like, a glory. Dude, the Hound and the Mountain.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then we get
Cersei dies by
Castle.
Yeah. And we're watching, it's like when they're like crying and holding each other and looking, "Oh, you're hurt. It doesn't matter." And this and that. I looked away and go, this is the most fucked up love story I have ever seen on any media.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you were saying, you go back as soon as Danny starts burning down King's Landing, Grey Worm throws a spear into one of the King's Guard.
Yeah, the ones who had surrendered, who were unarmed.
And that just starts a free-for-all. And John tries to stop the Northerners, and they won't listen to him.
He actually cuts one of them. He's like, get back here.
Yeah.
No, they won't listen to him at all.
And essentially, Grey Worm, the Unsullied, the Northerners, any of the Dothraki, any of them that are alive. Yeah, now
the Dothraki that were wiped out before, but now miraculously we have more of them.
They're all feast or famine. They're basically like, there's no rules. Because before they surrendered, they were at war and shit happens in war. But they've surrendered. This isn't war anymore.
Mm.
This is a massacre.
This is just a massacre.
This is a horrid massacre. And Jon Snow clearly wants nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And he has to fight to defend himself. But he's trying to stop people. He's trying to help people. But there's really not a lot he can do. And in fact, it's not until Daenerys has burned down the whole fucking city practically when he like gets his men to retreat finally, because they realize they will die there if they don't.
Yeah.
Because the city's going to fall down around them.
Yeah. And he tells them to fall back. And they're like,
And then we see the siege and what's happening through Arya's eyes for the last like 10, 15 minutes or whatever it is.
Beautifully done.
Yes.
This was heart-wrenching.
Yeah. But you see her running and running and running and then almost getting trampled. And then that lady that we've seen, this woman and her daughter from the beginning trying to get into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they closed the doors on before they could get in. And Arya had seen them earlier. And then somehow they got in when the doors got ripped open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all these people. And
they're all huddled in this one room. And Arya's like, you're going to die if you stay in here. Come with me. And then takes them out there. And it's dragged on a little bit more, but they end up dying out in the street.
Yes, they get burnt by the dragon.
Yep.
And
Arya gets her ass knocked around. Oh,
viciously. And she's like,
kudos to the makeup artist, by the way, for all the mud and blood they put on her.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was amazing.
But like after we see the dragon come through and burn that mom and the daughter that we see, you know, it's almost like the scenes from Pompeii where, you know, they're ashed bodies are still like displayed, you know, exactly as they were or whatever.
And Arya's choking. Like she's trying to, she's coughing like crazy. And
she reminded me, but that whole scene of her trying to flee the city and everything that happens to her, it's long.
It's long. It was long. So well done.
Yeah.
And I really, really liked it. I didn't like what led to it, but I liked those scenes. And then
go ahead. The horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
She
wakes up after she wakes up and she sees a horse.
Because everybody else is dead. She's the only one that's living. There's charred bodies everywhere, but now there's this white horse.
Covered in blood, though.
But probably not his own blood. And he's just like there waiting for her. And she's going to ride off on a pale horse. And that's how it ends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is.
So at the end of the episode, we've got Jon Snow and what's left of his men being dragged out of the city. Daenerys has toasted the entire city, never even went to check on Cersei, see if she's still alive. Oh, did you notice this too? Like, there were parts where Daenerys was toasting the city, and then you'd see some towers or buildings poof up in wildfire.
Oh, but, Kate pointed out to me, it was green flame.
Yeah.
So it's probably the dragon fuel or whatever it is that she used to blow up the temple.
Yeah. That's so, wildfire.
Yeah. The wildfire was all around the city. Yeah. Clearly it was all around the city, different places.
Like why? Why would you put that stuff around the city?
Because she wants to burn the city down. It's Daenerys. I mean, it's Cersei.
But she never said that. There was never a plot point that was brought up.
Maybe they threw it in at the last minute and said, just put some green bursts here and there to show where she had it hidden around the city. Maybe she talked about it last season. It didn't seem that out of place to me. It made sense to me. Like, it seems like something that would happen.
Not to me. I was looking at it and I'm like, why is this here? Like, this was not a plot point. But so Daenerys has burned down the city, toasted every living thing in it. Cersei and Jaime are dead.
Yep.
Varys was cooked. Huron and his Iron Fleet are gone.
Yep.
The Red Keep has never fallen.
It's gone.
Yeah, it also fell to Robert Baratheon. But, you know, hey, who's counting? No idea what Bran's doing. Somebody actually suggested online that maybe the horse is Bran warging.
It could be.
Could be. I saw a great meme that was it was an Uber screen, you know, and it said meet up here, and it showed a horse instead of a. But Arya is going to ride this pale horse for some reason. Mm-hmm. And
faster way to get out of the city.
Yeah. Unless she's going to use it to make fast track towards Daenerys and kill her. Because.
Well, did you watch scenes from next week?
They were brief.
Yeah, but basically it's Daenerys standing up in front of her, all her armies gathered.
Yeah. So the ones that are left alive.
Yeah. That, and they're all gathered up and everything. So.
And apparently, I haven't looked it up, but they were talking about how, you know, the people who were posting the night of this were saying that, you know, there was a prophecy from a few seasons back that could still come true if Arya kills Daenerys. Which in a specific way. I can't remember. I didn't look it up. All I know is that this season has gone downhill so fast for me. I'm not liking it. I don't like the direction that it's going in. I don't like the way that they're cutting big chunks of it out. I don't like Daenerys's heel turn. I don't think that it makes any sense. I get what you're saying. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that.
And that's fine. We can disagree.
Yeah. I'm just saying that if she's going to heel turn, why is she going to say, I'm going to kill all these innocent people? It just.
Well, it depends on how she is in the next episode. Because to me, if she snapped and she's like her dad, the Mad King, then it makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I have not been a fan of this whatsoever. Which brings me back to the news that I was going to talk about. The two showrunners for this. What are their names? Hold on.
Isn't like one D.B. Wise or some shit?
Yeah, it's David Benioff and D.B. Weiss.
Yep.
So they're the ones who have been running it for the past two seasons.
Yeah.
And giving us these truncated stories and changing, you know, the direction and everything like that. It was just announced today that they are going to be in charge of the next Star Wars movies. The ones that come after
the next
Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. Yeah, at least the very first one, they're going to be in charge of it. To this I say horse shit. Because I have been this upset with the way that they've been handling this show. Now you're going to give them Star Wars?
Be interesting to see what they do. Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Hmm. That's a word. Interesting. I don't know. I haven't liked it. I'm glad that you're getting enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this season. I'm not saying I'm enjoying every little speck of it, but I haven't been disappointed like you.
Yeah. Well, I'm always worried, not about you, but like I avoid spoilers as much as possible. You know, and it's really hard. But I avoid spoilers for two reasons with this show. One, I want to go into it without knowing that someone's going to die or, you know, that there's a coffee cup on a table. But also, I don't want to go into it with, like, if everybody says, oh, this was great, this was great, this was great, I don't want to go in with that expectation.
Right.
Conversely, I don't want to go in with the expectation that, you know, this sucked, this sucked, this sucked. I want to make my own opinions.
Yep.
I can say with certainty that most of my complaints are being echoed elsewhere. So there are a lot of people. Rotten Tomatoes has put up the numbers. And, like, for this season, it was, like, the first episode was 96%, then 84%, then 79%. And now these last two were, like, 56% and 54%. So
I know I saw, like, I've seen the headlines, like, it's fans aren't the only ones disappointed with Game of Thrones this season. The cast is, too.
And yeah.
I didn't read the articles or whatever, but.
Have you seen the horse meme? The one that shows the drawing of a horse as compared to the Game of Thrones seasons?
No. That's pretty funny.
So it's basically like the tail end of the horse is seasons 1 through 5, and it looks very artistically done, you know, like a professional drawer artist. And then as you get up to season 6, it turns into like a cartoon. And then season 7 and 8 looks like a 5-year-old did it.
It does, yeah.
So
that's pretty funny. That's pretty spot on.
I like it. So, yeah, I'm definitely interested to see what happens in this last episode. I think that my prediction, based on what I've seen online, what I've experienced, et cetera, is that we're going to get an ending to this that is going to be on par with the ending to Lost. I think people are going to lose their shit, and they're going to be pissed, and they're not going to like the way that it ends, no matter what. I think people are already ready to not like the ending.
I've already seen some people comparing it to how Battlestar Galactica ended.
And see, I liked Battlestar's ending, but I was in the minority there for sure.
I was not a huge fan.
Right. Right. Yeah. And a lot of people weren't. A lot of people really hated it.
She just fucking disappeared.
That I hated. I have no idea why she just disappeared. That was stupid.
But anyhow, it's hard. Like, I get it. It's hard when you have a show like Game of Thrones or Battlestar or The Sopranos or whatever, or Lost, and it comes time to end it. I mean, you're not always going to make everybody happy. But why does it seem more often than not they don't end well?
How you I know? Met Your Mother.
But yeah, exactly. But why is it that?
Why call it How I Met Your Mother when the whole point of the story apparently was I should get together with Aunt Robin?
Yeah. But it's just, it's one of those things, like, why does the vast majority of the people disappointed with these endings on these iconic shows?
In some cases, you might want to say, oh, well, it's because the show's going away. They're not going to have to talk about it anymore. But, you know, like with Lost, they were like, this is what we've been building up to.
Yeah.
You know, oh, they were dead all along.
Yeah.
You know, The Sopranos, cut to black, mid-sentence, you know, just done.
Did he get shot in the head? What happened?
Right.
Right.
And they never came back to tell us. They never said, oh, there'll be a follow-up movie or anything.
MASH had a very satisfactory ending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really did.
Yes.
Newhart, actually, had a very satisfactory ending.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of more.
You know what I mean? Like, it was comical, but it was like, you know, it was all a dream, but still, like, it was just...
Scrubs, if they had left it where it was... If they hadn't done the med school, Scrubs had one of the most beautiful endings I've ever seen.
Yes, it did.
I still, when I hear that song, The Book of Love, I still get choked up.
Yep.
Thinking about JD walking down the hall and seeing the banner and the...
Seeing all the people and then watching the slideshow, film strip, whatever it is at the end. Yeah.
That then becomes the future. And,
yes.
Oh.
That was amazing.
Izzy and Sam getting together. And
then we had to get the extra season.
God, it was such a good ending. It was such a good ending. The Passage had a great end
for one
season.
And I'm happy with that. Yeah. Life, actually, the way they ended Life, they said, well, we don't know if we're getting another season, so we're going to wrap everything up. And if we get more episodes, great. If we don't, here it is.
We got good resolution.
And I enjoyed that.
Dexter was terrible, from what I understand.
Yeah, I hated the ending of Dexter. That was a disappointment.
Yeah.
What's the one with Jim Caviezel?
Oh, Person of Interest.
Person of Interest. That ended well.
That ended well, but it was so sad.
Yeah, yeah, very sad.
But God, what a great...
Yeah.
Jesus, that show was amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad we finished and stopped talking about shows that had good endings.
Yes.
Truthfully.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good palate cleanser.
But Person of Interest had a really, really sad, but really good ending.
Person of Interest was such a good show. That's one that I miss out because, you know, it's a CBS show, so it's probably on CBS All Access, but it's not on Netflix.
Or right, Hulu. Yeah.
I would watch that one again from the beginning.
I actually would like to watch that one again from the beginning.
From the first time that we meet him on the train, and he looks like a homeless guy.
He beats the fuck out of all those people.
And you're like, I'm going to like this.
Yep.
Oh, what a good show.
I'm going to talk about it for a few minutes. The character, I don't know what he is, but like he's about to be, oh, you're going to kill me? Oh, this is great. You know, like he's about to be murdered, but he's all excited about it because these guys always stop it when they're going to kill me.
Yep.
And sure shit, he shows up. Huh, guys, what are we going to get here? Like, or like the dog.
Bear.
When, you know. When the other guy has him, and he's like, well, he doesn't respect you, know? To his handler. And then he gives the dog a command, and the dog attacks them.
And then mid-attack, he just calls him off, and the dog's like, yep, I'm out of here. And
follows him home. Yep. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Oh, God. That show was so – it was brilliant, and it was well done, and – it was always smarter than you, but it never made you feel dumb.
Yep. It was good.
It was believable while still being, you know, a little bit insane.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, God. That was a great show.
All right. Let's end there.
Let's end there. Positive note.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. We went longer than I thought. Well,
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah,
it's be week and a half for us.
We're recording this on a Tuesday. I'll put it up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then the next Sunday, you'll get a recording, or maybe Monday, you'll get a recording that was us watching 2 weeks worth of stuff.
Right.
It's our double episode, double up, double entendre.
Double entendre. Yeah. It's all good. All right, that's it. Thanks. Oh, wait. On Twitter, I'm Superstar Mal.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
Then we go thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Talk to you next time.